Welcome back to That 590 Show. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a writer for bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane Young, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. I cannot wait. This might be the last day of the NBA season.
I think it will be. I think it will be the last day of the NBA season. I think that Cleveland basically gave Golden State their best punch on Wednesday night, and Cleveland, yeah, it looked like they kind of wobbled, or Golden State kind of wobbled a little bit those first 46 minutes, and then the last 48, they just dropped the hammer, and it was good night, Irene.
Oh, yeah. This entire series has been lopsided for the most part in terms of, like, in game three, I really thought when the Warriors had that big lead, or I think they led by, I think it was 9 or 10 early on. I thought, you know, they were going to pull away, but credit Kyrie and LeBron for having two miraculous games. And it's funny, that, like, they have to repeat that. They have to repeat 77 points on over 55% shooting just to have a chance. Well, and I don't, as great as LeBron is, I just don't think they have that efficiency in them without getting tired tonight. So it's going to be crazy.
And they need Tristan Thompson to show up, too. I mean, he has been MIA the first three games. He was scoreless in game one. He had 8 points in game two. And then he was scoreless again on Wednesday night. And he's not really even rebounding. If Kevin Love is out rebounding you, then there's a problem. I mean, he's not doing anything out there. And if I'm Tyronn Lue, I haven't heard about any kind of lineup changes tonight. But if I'm Tyronn Lue, I'm thinking about maybe sitting Tristan Thompson and just going with a small lineup right from the very beginning.
Yes, I really think they should go small. When you're down 0-3, when you're down 3-0, you should really just try anything that you haven't tried. I mean, this is about experimentation right now because you have no way of getting past this team unless you mix it up. The definition of insanity is keep doing the same things over and
exactly.
over, expecting different results. I don't understand, number one, why Cleveland continues to go iso ball. Like, you know, it's ridiculous. They had a 2-for-1 opportunity last game to cut into that Warriors 3-point or 4-point lead, and Kyrie takes a contested three over Klay Thompson and that after like 18 seconds of dribbling.
Yeah.
So, and you know about Tristan Thompson, whenever you said that he's MIA, that kind of implies that we don't know where he's at. I think we know where he's at. Khloe Kardashian has his soul. Khloe Kardashian has completely captured him, and she needs to get him back.
Yeah. See, the big thud you heard was the sound of my producer slamming his fist on the council, because I say the same thing, because anytime anybody gets involved with the Kardashians, they go to crap.
He was with her last year when he was a key piece in them making the comeback.
It takes a little while for that full Kardashian effect to happen. It doesn't happen just overnight. It takes a little while.
You guys are so mean. This guy, by the way, who wasn't going to be anything coming out of Texas, is making $130 million to do nothing but offensive rebound, which he can't even do right now, and you still find a reason to blame his girl for that?
Yes.
The guy has plenty of things to lean back on. Blame him.
Anytime I can blame a Kardashian, I'm going to blame a Kardashian. That's my right as an American, Matt Rocchio. Don't you dare take it away.
Here's the thing, though. Like, you said that Tristan was getting out-rebounded by Kevin Love. Here's the thing. Tristan Thompson has 11 rebounds in the series. Stephen Curry has 29.
Yeah.
Curry has 29 rebounds.
That's not good either.
He's the smallest guy on the court, you know, next to Kyrie. So I don't know. You know, it's going to be it's all up to Tristan. And I think JR has to replicate what he did. If JR can hit 5 threes again, I mean, they're going to have a decent shot of getting the game 4 win. But, I mean, Kevin Durant, man, he's leading in almost everything. He has 102 points on 66 shots. That is just absurd.
And I had a feeling that Kevin Durant was really going to show up in these finals because he's heard all the whispers about how, you know, he's had it easy and he's joining the super team, and maybe people are thinking he's a bit of a tourist because he joined a team that won 73 games last year and was one win away from winning back-to-back titles. So I knew that he felt like he had something he was going to prove, and so far he's proving it.
Yeah, he is really kind of getting that criticism away from him in the sense that if he was just putting up average numbers like, you know, Iguodala or Harrison Barnes or something like that, and it was Curry and Thompson that were just carrying this team offensively, But now I can understand why people would like hate on the guy and say, "Oh, you're just you're on the coattails of someone else." But he is the best offensive scorer and the best offensive producer on the team right now, and he's probably the best rim protector. Our opponents are shooting only 41% against him at the rim. That's the second highest in the playoffs, next to Serge Ibaka, who was already eliminated. So he's the best available rim protector right now. And if you look, Matt, and guys in your studio, whenever they're playing minutes of Durant at center, because they do roll those lineups out when Durant plays the five, and you have Iggy, you have Clay, Steph, Pat McCall out there, the smaller lineup, they win those minutes. And if you're winning minutes with Durant at the center, man, you're toast.
You're right.
Toast.
Yeah. And he's just been, like you're talking about, like he's leading in all these different offensive metrics. If his numbers, like Draymond Green is having a pretty quiet series. You know, he's not lost like Tristan Thompson, but he's not dominating. If you were to flip-flop their numbers, let's say Draymond Green was having this tremendous series and Kevin Durant had Draymond Green's numbers, then you can make that argument about Kevin Durant, how he's just along for the ride. But no, like you said, he is really putting the hammer down. And are you ready to say that the torch is being passed and now this is Kevin Durant's league and it's no longer LeBron's? Are you ready to say that?
God, that kind of question will get you hated by so many people. I think that LeBron at his best is still the best, probably, but I guess I'll say it like this. For 80% of the season, I really thought Durant had the best year, and I thought Durant was the best player this year until he got hurt, obviously. But when Durant is doing this, and if he can keep doing this for, consistently throughout next season, next first round, and so forth, I don't see how there's a guy that's better. LeBron is playing great right now, but Durant is playing just a little bit better, and this is the biggest stage of basketball. LeBron's true shooting, I was trying to find it. LeBron's true shooting is 63.9% in this series. Kevin Durant, 68.6%.
Yeah.
Durant's getting to the foul line more, knocking them down, hitting threes over LeBron, getting to the lane at will, man. I don't see how you can stop the guy, and I really do think next year at age 28, 29, he's 28 now, so age 28, 29 next year, he'll be the best player in the world. And that's not a knock on LeBron. It's just that, like, LeBron is going to be 33. Durant will be at that year, at that age, that it's just conceivable that he's the best player in the world.
I think that if Cleveland's going to have any kind of chance tonight, LeBron's going to have a Game 6 Eastern Conference Finals back in 2012 against the Boston Celtics when he went, 19-26, had 45 points, he had 15 rebounds and 5 assists. He's going to need that kind of effort tonight, I think, if Cleveland's even going to have a chance, and even that might not be enough. I think that's what Cleveland's problem is that they just don't have enough talent. LeBron's been fantastic, but if they lose tonight, everybody's going to be blaming LeBron. See? He's not Jordan. Here he is. Jordan never got swept in the finals, which is such a tiring argument. Shane, hold on one second. Rocky, what was that stat that you told me during the commercial break about the number of Hall of Famers Jordan played against and the number of Hall of Famers?
Oh, that's Chris Bouchard, man.
Yeah, Jordan played against 9 Hall of Famers in his 6 finals appearances. Obviously, extrapolating for all the guys that are still playing now, Broussard's stat essentially puts it as LeBron James has faced off against 26 in his 8 finals appearances.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, 26. A lot of them on this team. I think you have 4 on this team. Iguodala is going to have a little bit of a case, but I don't think he's going to get in there. So you're going to, definitely 4 from this team. And the Spurs had a lot. The Mavericks had a couple. Although I think that stat's hilarious, though, because while it's true and it kind of just proves LeBron's dominance that he's played against all these Hall of Famers and still has 3 rings, he also played against one of those is Jason Kidd. But Jason Kidd was like 38 years old, right?
Yes.
So you got to account for those kind of things too. But to me, if LeBron won this series, I would put LeBron number 1 all time. But since that's not going to happen, I think he's still going to stay in the same place that I had him, which is like 4th or something like that. So it's not going to be a knock on him if he gets swept. If he gets swept, I think everyone should just be smart and sensible this time around and realize that, he's going against the greatest team of all time. It doesn't matter.
It's funny that you're bringing up Jason Kidd because this was during the college basketball season, I had Brendan Haywood on my program talking about the final or the NCAA tournament, and he was on that Mavericks team that beat LeBron and the Heat in that finals. And I asked him, I go, were you just as stunned as everybody else that LeBron wouldn't post up J.J. Barea? And he kind of paused and let out a gasp, and he goes, yeah, we all were. He said, in fact, that whoever the defensive liability was on the floor at the time, that's the person who guarded LeBron. So that's the reason.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the reason why you saw, like, at times J.J. Barea or even Jason Kidd guarding LeBron's, because LeBron wasn't being aggressive at all. He was, you know, just taking jump shots and being very lackadaisical about it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think this is my biggest problem with LeBron, and especially in this series, but more so in 2011. But this series, I would say, it since it's relevant. Game one, 20 shots. Game two, 18 shots. Game three, where's it at here? Game three was 27 shots. Okay, tell me this. If LeBron is playing against the greatest team of all time, which he is, this is the best team that I've ever seen in my life, and they're the toughest to beat. Even if you don't think they're the greatest, they're the toughest to beat. So why is he not taking over 30 shots? Because he's the best player in the world, the most dominant player. He needs to just go balls out and attack, man. Just attack.
Yeah.
And he needs to do that. And I think they would have a better shot if he takes those 30 shots and not Kyrie, because LeBron's so super efficient.
I think that's, like, anybody who's the biggest critic of LeBron, that's the thing they bring up the most, is that how he just refuses to take a game over, or he does it rarely. Like I said, the one that stands out in my mind is Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics back in 2012, when he had, everybody says that that's his serial killer game, because he had that strange look on his face. He didn't smile once that entire time. He just went out there and just took over. He's got the talent to do it, but just refuses to do it for some reason.
I don't know. I don't really. I think he's just he wants people to see from his lens that he can make the right play, which I do agree with a lot. I do agree with everyone that says passing to Kyle Korver was the right play, because, I mean, he was sealed off. He had an open shot. I think that was okay. And you have to trust Korver with that shot. He's one
absolutely
of the best of all time. But at the same time, it shouldn't even got to that moment. He should have, like, when Kyrie was ISOing all those times, and he was, you know, Kyrie was scoring the ball, for, you know, magnificently, like, he was scoring it awesome. And the problem was, though, all those times where they got tired, LeBron could have went to the foul line. LeBron could have drove inside and got some easy shots. I don't understand why it had to get to that point where they were down. It shouldn't have been. They should have had a 10-12 point lead in the fourth quarter there.
Shane Young from BballBreakdown.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Now, Shane, because we're having this all-time great team in Golden State Warriors, that means that all the teams from the NBA Finals past are coming out of the woodwork saying that, yeah, they would stomp this team right into the ground. Have the Magic saying, the Showtime Lakers, that they would do it. You even had, you know, Dr. J saying the 83-76ers would do it. Rip Hamilton saying the 2004 Detroit Pistons would beat this Golden State Warriors team. Why do you think this Golden State Warriors team gets so disrespected? It's because they're more of a jump shooting team? Do you think that's what it is?
I think maybe I'm going to put like 30% of it is because they're a jump shooting team. And I would say the other 70% is because they don't have anyone on that team other than Draymond that you look at and say, man, he is just mean. He's a physical, you know, he'll punch you. He'll throw you down on the ground. They have no tough guy like that, which to me is completely false and completely stupid, because they are all tough in their own right. Steph is a tough guy, man. Like, for his position, like what he does on the court out there, he's not backing down from you. And Clay, Clay to me is one of the six best perimeter player, like best perimeter defenders right now we have. The work he's doing on Kyrie, although he's getting scored on a little bit last game, the work he's doing on JR and Kyrie is just completely, it's something that you should show your kids if they're trying to watch how a defender moves his feet and moves his hands and really telegraphs an offensive player. They're all tough in their own right and super skilled, and I think the only one of those old guys that has a right to say anything about how they would dominate, actually two of them. If Jordan come out and said it, I can't hate him for that, because he went through every team. He's 6-0, and I would love to see that. 96 Bulls, 2017 Warriors. And Magic Johnson, I hated how he said that they would sweep them, But I can understand how he said they would beat them. They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He would be like 10 inches taller than everyone else on the court, and his skyhook would be completely unstoppable. I think Magic and Michael are the only ones that have it right. But the 04 Pistons, that made me laugh out loud because they had the worst offensive rating that in the finals of like the last 30, 40 years, which is hilarious.
Well, this
and it was their defense that carried them. So they wouldn't score enough points to keep up with these Warriors. They just wouldn't.
This is what Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say. They're all right. They would kill us. The game gets worse as time goes on. Players are less talented than they used to be. The guys in the 50s would have destroyed everybody. It's weird how human evolution goes in reverse in sports. Players get weaker, smaller, less skilled. I can't explain it.
What?
I love Steve Kerr. I just love Steve Kerr. That is so funny. Guys in the 50s, they would have killed us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill Russell, quietly, no one knows this, but Bill Russell with a 19 PER, which is right above league average. Bill Russell is shooting 46% from the field when he's 18 inches taller than everybody else.
Yeah, and Bill Russell was like 6'9 and barely 200 pounds. He was a string bean back then.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain, who never had to go against anyone except playground kids. Yeah, he'll definitely beat you. Man, this team, I think that they'll start earning the respect once they hit the three-peat mark, which, you know, I kind of feel robbed. I'm not a Warriors fan. I'm a Lakers and somewhat Spurs guy, but I kind of feel robbed that this should be a three-peat. How do you all feel about that? Because, like, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, this is a three-peat.
Yeah, and if Adam Bogut doesn't get hurt, maybe Andrew Bogut, if he doesn't get hurt, maybe a three-peat as well.
I don't feel robbed at all because we're just about to see the first leg of a three-peat.
That could be very
That's the fact of the matter is I think we're seeing the first leg of a new three-peat.
Yeah, okay, yeah, which is completely insane because then it could be 6 feet. But, man, this team is going to be so deep in terms of what, because all they have to do this year is re-sign Iguodala, and what they need for that to happen is if they need Durant to take less than the Supermax, which he's already said he's willing to do. So just sign Iguodala back, and you have all these guys. Steph will be 29 next year or 30. He'll be 30 next year.
They got to re-sign him too.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Jesus, if he doesn't re-sign, then something's gone terribly wrong in that locker room.
True, but I'm just saying. I was actually wondering if we see Joe Lacob and the Warriors say, you know what, we just bought a new building, we're in San Francisco. Let's jack up some prices. Let's go into the.
You know people are going to pay for it.
Yeah, let's jack up the prices because we're going to win 75 games. Let's jack up the prices for tickets, for retail, for everything. And let's just go. Let's go into the luxury. Let's go into the repeater multiple years. I would love to see Joe Lacob and them say, you know what, we're going to do what the NBA actually technically could allow if you want to, and we're going to spend as much money as possible. It's going to cost us a ton, but we're in San Francisco, so why the hell not?
Well, here's another thing is that they need to do too, and I've said this ever since they debuted. They have to do something with that logo, man. That bridge does not do it. No, I can't.
How dare you? That logo is
awful. It looks like something you would see on a title company.
It's one of like the three logos in the NBA that's circular and not like shaped as like the actual logo. It's got that circular logo. The numbers inside of it says Golden State Warriors on the outside. It looked perfect on there. It looks great on their jersey. I think it's solid.
Matt, no, it's a Matt, picture of a bridge.
It's one of the only logos in the league that encapsulates the city.
Of Oakland. Like,
the Bay Area, Mr. Berger. It's the Bay Area.
Yeah, no, they got to change it. Shane, we could talk about this all night, but we have to get to Kevin Brackett. He's got to tell us about how bad the movie The Mummy stinks. Enjoy Game 4 tonight, and we look forward to having you on again to talk about how it was better to go 16-0 in the playoffs than it was to go 73-9 during the regular season. Have a good weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, man. Warriors by 19. See you guys.
Have a good night, Shane. I think he's right about that one, too. I think they're going to stomp him. That's Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, Kevin Brackett from realspoilers.com is going to be joining us. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.